3-part sermon series leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Everybody smile at Resurrection Sunday. I mean, this is life, yes? This is life. Man, I tell you what, having a resurrection that says, I'm saved, I'm being kept, my home is, heaven is my home, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, all that is for certain. It's for certain. But today I want to talk about uncertainty and how the resurrection of Christ impacts our hope. Impacts our hope in Christ. Uncertainty. We're buried in uncertainty, but raised by hope. Uncertainty, something that has no guarantee or certain outcome. Do you like living that way? Most of us don't. Most of us don't. Uncertainty can cause us to be fearful, to have doubts about our physical safety, our future, our family, our finances, and so on. Uncertain times can cause Christians to have doubt about their own faith or about God and ask things like, does God even care? Questions like these arise when Christians decide that God is distant and uncaring when bad things happen, even though they prayed fervently for a different outcome. Satan is right there, isn't he, to foster beliefs that perhaps God isn't here or he's distant, he doesn't care. I've been thinking about uncertainty as it relates to our faith. Uncertain times stretch our faith and sharpen what we believe to be true about God if we continue to seek his face through hard times. Frederick Buchner says this, he's an American theologian and author of over 30 books. And he writes, doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. I like that. But my real question in this resurrection series, sermon series, is this. What effect does uncertainty have on our ability to hold on to our hope in Christ? The key purpose of Christian hope is to hold us steadfast in Christ when hard and uncertain times overwhelm us. Ever feel overwhelmed by life? Yeah. Hard things happen, you know? Life can become very tenuous, it seems. Unexpected things hit you from left field. You don't know they were coming. Hardships happen, and they take a long time sometimes to work through. So to understand Christian hope, let's claim a solid understanding of biblical hope. What is biblical hope? Well, the Greek word for hope is elpis. That's the Greek letters there, E-L-P-I-S. Elpis. And elpis means to have a confident expectation. It's not a hope-so, but a no-so kind of hope. Hope-so is based on chance and is completely undependable. It's simply wishful thinking. I wish it would be a better day tomorrow. I wish that, I used to send in every sweepstakes that came in the mail. I did. I spent money on postage. And, you know, and as a young man, I didn't know that if you didn't buy what they were selling, I thought it meant I would have a better chance at winning if I bought what they were selling too, and so I did all that. I spent a lot of money just on postage. Man, you know, Ed McMahon, remember Ed McMahon? And he'd send in these sweepstakes, and oh man, I'd fill them out, and I'd put them, send them off. I hope so. Hope so based on what? You know, you read the fine print, you have 1 in 6 billion chance of winning this. That's wishful thinking. wishful thinking. However, no-so hope enables you to face hard things with confidence because you know God is in control and you trust his love for you. The more mileage you have with God under your belt, the easier it is to say, I know, even though this is hard, even though I might be tempted to look a different direction, I know my God is here. I know he's keeping me. And that is really good. That's a faith that you can take to the bank. And so today, let's unpack hope, a confident expectation. The word confident. Confident hope is based on Christ's promises and fulfilled prophecies about who he is. It's knowledge based on historical facts about God. Now, you can read through Scripture and say, wow, that was a nice story, but you'd be missing something very important about Scripture. Most of Scripture is historical. It's a fact. Did you know that Jesus dying on the cross is a historical event? It really did happen. Other parts of the Bible tell us so. But even more so, and maybe more convincing to the skeptic mind, is that non-biblical sources say that Jesus died on the cross. People who didn't even believe wrote about it. Historians wrote about it. They said Jesus died on a cross. But even more so, they said Jesus rose from the grave. It's a historical event. And so your faith is not based on some nice story. It's based on history, real things that happened in real history. Based on facts about about God, about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, working together to fulfill their purpose on earth through his church, that's you and me. God is working out his purpose through you and me. Did it touch your heart to see the Compassion First pictures? The folks who are working in Java in the cemetery? You know, having been in Haiti recently, where it's hot, it's hard, your body tires quickly, lots of humidity, lots of smells that are not pleasant, lots of noise all the time. And to live in that so that you could have compassion for someone else who doesn't have a chance at life. You see, we can sing about love, we can talk about love, and we can do what love does. And I'm very proud of Athena Christian Church because many of you are involved in doing something that requires you to suffer for someone else because that's what love does. It puts itself out there for someone else to be benefited. Perhaps someone, even in our country, who believes they don't have a chance at life. I don't know if you know Colleen Mayberry's story, as she was director of Holt Ministries, that she could have people adopt babies from other countries, children from other countries. And I don't know how many, do you have an idea of how many you placed? A lot of children. But she had to go to these countries, these places. She was always on the go and ministering and giving children a chance at life. Amen? That's good stuff because love does. Love does. Hope is empowered by the facts of God. So we can have a confident hope, but we can also have an expectation in our hope. Expectation is not demand. It's not that. This describes what you can believe to be true based on what God says is true about himself. What God said is true about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, what is true about sin, Christ's death and resurrection, about salvation, about becoming and remaining a Christian, about Christ's return and the end of this world and the beginning of the new earth, as Scripture talks about. You can have an expectation. You can expect God to deliver. We just read Romans chapter 8 that said, is God against us? The answer is? Oh, come on. The answer is? No. The answer is no. Is Jesus for us? The answer is? Yes, he is for us. And if anyone else can be against us, doesn't matter. Because God, the ultimate King of Kings, is for us. That's good stuff. This is good news. I hope you're getting excited. Amen. Yeah. Because this is great news. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know that old song? If God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. It's a great song. That's all I know. Here's an example of how to gain a confident expectation. God said that Jesus' death on the cross would completely satisfy his demand that sinners be punished. Romans 5, 8, and 9 in the New Living Translation says this, but God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will, what's this word? Certainly save us from God's condemnation. Put certainly into a percentage, and what do you get? 100%. This is a verse about hope. A confident expectation that I am no longer condemned, that you are no longer condemned. Say that. I am no longer condemned. Except for right after you've sinned. Did I speak truth or not? I heard yes and no. Which is it? It's no. It's no. I'm still not condemned. Yes, I've sinned. But the blood of Christ covers me. If I use the Christian's bar of soap, you know what that is? 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful. And to forgive us our sin and to purify us from 50% of our unrighteousness. Paul's going, yep, that's it. See, I'm trying to tease you. I'm trying to trick you. And you're catching it. Good. That's good. Listen closely to the Word of God. Confident expectation that my salvation in Christ is secure, even right after you sin. Now, brothers and sisters, do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, I can have my cake and eat it too, because even if I sin, I'm still saved. Let's go have a party. No. Because the Bible is full of warnings too. Warnings that say, if this, then that. Those are conditions. Our salvation is somewhat conditional. If you want to tramp it under your feet, God says in Hebrews chapter 6, it is impossible to restore you while you're in an attitude of, I don't care and I don't want to. It's impossible to restore you to faith. So take warning there. Let's also check out Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's eyes by our faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God. Jesus is our peace treaty with God. You have peace. That's a certain thing. You can expect that God will say about you, we have peace between us. We have peace between us. From these two verses alone, what expectation can you hold on to confidently about your salvation in Christ? Okay, I want to ask you to talk with each other for a moment and answer that question. Here's the question. Based on these two verses, what confident expectation can you hold about your salvation in Christ? Okay, go ahead and speak to each other about that. Coming up with audience participation time. What are some answers? What can you be confident, have a confident expectation about in regards to your salvation based on these two verses? I'm sorry? Nobody can take it from me. I'm in the family of God. Now, you said that with a lot of confidence. See, that's what hope gives you, is confidence. Yes. Okay, I can expect that God's salvation over me is here. Trouble times or not. Trouble times or not. Yep, never leave you, forsake you. He promises that. Amen. Peace. I have peace with God. Now, you can say to God, I have peace with you, and still be unsure. But when God says, I have peace with you, you're sure. What'd you say?
Romans
8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, these are confident expectation verses defined as hope in Scripture. There's a powerful passage here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. It's a powerful description of hope and why you can have hope. Listen to this. When people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God, having given us both his promise and his oath, these two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have fled to him for refuge. We can take new courage, for we can hold on to his promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the line of Melchizedek. God has bound himself to you by a promise and an oath to say, I'm keeping you. And when God binds himself, he does not lie. That's powerful. It's a good thing God does not lie. I've seen Christians walk away from their faith in difficult times. What were they missing about biblical hope? I've been tempted in my own life, have you, to walk away from your faith in God, or at least to question, is all of this really true? Is this some sort of fairy tale? You don't want to know why I never left my faith? Simply this, I couldn't find any better place to go. Simply that. And in fact, if I remember back far enough, over my shoulder a backwards glance, I would see my first time I chose to follow God, because where I was at and the many places I had been elsewhere too was hell. And Jesus was the best place to go. And when you have the best place to go and sometimes think, is this really the best place to be? And then you start remembering why you came here in the first place. It adds to your confident expectation that where you are is the right place. As we look forward to celebrating Christ's resurrection, let's discover the power of hope in Christ. This three-part series is based on four vitally important elements Christ spoke about in the last Passover supper he had with his 12 disciples. Through this series, we're going to understand more than ever before, what Christ said about about himself, about God, about salvation, about God's promises will deepen your roots of your hope and will make you stronger in your faith. Invite everyone to come to this series. We're just barely opening the suitcase today of what's inside. During and after the Passover meal, there were four times the Jews drank wine from their cup. Each time they drank, they were remembering one of four promises of God. These promises were made 14 centuries before the moment Jesus was partaking of these four cups with his disciples. 14 centuries earlier, 1,400 years earlier, when God rescued the Israelites from bondage in Egypt. These promises are recorded in Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7. So let's travel back in time to when these promises were first made. And I'm reading from Exodus. Here that is, right here. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Okay, two verses that have four promises in them. In your bulletin outline, if you take that out and follow along, there's some blanks for you to fill in. Gosh, I'm cold up here. Is it colder where you guys are? No, okay. Just me.
His heater is broken.
don't be alarmed. Four promises. Promise number one, I will bring you out, he says. I will bring you out. Fill in the blank, the word bring. I will bring you out from slavery under the Egyptians. Promise number one. Promise number two, I will deliver or free you from still believing you are slaves. I'm really tempted right here to give you a preview of next week's sermon, but I don't want to give it away. Promise three, I will redeem you from worshiping their gods because, promise number four, I will take you as a husband takes a wife and promises to cover her and protect her. I will take you. Four valuable, unrevocable promises God has given us. And then 1,400 years later now, here's Jesus with his disciples, his last moments with his disciples after training them for 3.5 years and enjoying this Last Supper. And next Sunday, we're going to hear more about what these four cups meant. What did Jesus mean by taking and partaking of them and having his disciples partake of them? The intent of today's message is to ask you two questions. One, what is your hope in Christ built on? Do you have a biblical hope, a confident expectation, or is your hope in Christ more wishful thinking? And secondly, will your hope today keep you centered in God when uncertain times overwhelm you? Christians sometimes leave God because their hope is not cemented in the truth of Scripture. Your hope is about to become stronger if you choose to believe what God said is really true. So next Sunday's message is a pivotal message in this series. Next Sunday you will see, hear, and experience how God's promise will hold you firm in your faith when troubled times come along, when waves of fear wash over you. This is the power of hope. I want to read to you our Seek God from the City for the City for this morning. Listen to this. April 2nd. For joy of hope in times of trouble. Scripture is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy dwelling places, the Most High God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. He, God, will help her when morning dawns. We remember, here's the thought for today. We remember when terror used to be a rare and random thing, a mountain-shaking experience. But now, the relentless assault of violence rattles the structure of government and commerce, along with standards of goodness and virtue. We fear that all that is solid and sure might soon dissolve into chaos. Show yourself mighty in our midst. Divert a stream of life from your throne, because for us, an unshakable place of safety. Give a sanctuary in the certainty of your presence. Cause many in our city to see the soon coming dawn of your kingdom and to know the gladness of taking refuge in the Most High. Fits perfectly with this message, certain expectation, a positive expectation. Your hope in Christ is now centered in your hope, a certain expectation, a confident expectation. So here's your assignment for next week. In your bulletin, on the other side of your sermon outline, is a study guide. Use the study guide, look through the scriptures, read through it, and it's going to help us be ready for next Sunday's message. Praise God, eh? God is good. Yeah. We had some Canadians on our team. They kind of wore off on me a little
Amen.
Bit.
Amen.
Hey. Let's stand together as we sing a song about certain hope.